How's everybody's first week of fasting going? Good, good. It's been good. This morning, I wanna go into a sermon that goes through four keys to your breakthrough. Four keys to your breakthrough. So if you want to get out a notebook or your phone to take notes, whatever that may be this morning, these are key elements to your breakthrough. Everybody pull out their backpack and their notebooks. We're going to get everybody bringing their backpack like school, elementary school kids coming to class and pulling out their notebook and all of that stuff. But four keys to your next breakthrough. You may have seen breakthroughs in the past, and you may think, well, it's awesome. I've seen this breakthrough in my life. I've seen this breakthrough in my life. But in order for your next breakthrough, there's got to be certain elements, certain keys that you take a hold of for your life to see that next breakthrough come to pass. And these are important. So make sure you write each one down. Allow the Lord to speak to you this morning in whichever area that he's gonna download and deposit some things in you. And let's just open up and pray this morning before we get started. Minister Lee Howe, thank you this morning for playing keyboard and doing that. I know it probably might have been a little bit of pain, but we thank you so much for that. You're awesome, and God's healing you even as you sit there right now in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you so much for this house, for this body, for every person that's here this morning. I thank you, Lord, for their hearts, their desires to come into the house of God to celebrate your name. And Lord, we pray that even as we go through the word of God this morning, that you would show us, highlight in our spirits the things that are going to be key to our next breakthrough, Father. We thank you, Lord, for even this time of setting aside these days to dedicate to you, Father, to dedicate our time and our energy, Father, to you, to see this year come to greater levels than the last year. And Father, we pray even a greater magnitude this year than over the past 5 years. So we thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in advance. We thank you for 2024. And Lord, the miracles, the amazing supernatural things that are going to take place this year. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise and all the credit for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. How many of you, when Pastor Paul Gallet was here and he sold the book Crossover, how many of you have read that? A few. Okay. Well, this is a statement that I took out of that, and I thought it was really good. But he wrote this in it. I'm kind of paraphrasing. It's not a complete quote. But he said, yesterday's anointing, yesterday's knowledge, yesterday's faith, and yesterday's strength is not enough to cross the threshold in front of you today for the next level. And I thought, that's really good, because to go to the next level, there has to be a next level of faith, a next level of knowledge, a next level of anointing to go through the next breakthrough. And then he went on to say, last season's skills and expertise are not enough to cross over. And I thought that was so good. And I just want to go through this morning, because it will require certain things of us. Our breakthrough will require certain things of us. And so I want to go through those this morning. And I want you to understand that so many times we can get a prophetic word. We can get a word even in our spirit of what the Lord wants to do in our lives. And we can receive that in our spirit. We can receive a word that's confirmed in our spirit. The pastor or man of God can speak over us, and we can receive that. But until we make the decisions that align with that prophetic word, it will never come to pass. So our word or our desire, our destinies, have to also incorporate our decisions and our choices. Because we can pray as much as we want, but even a strong prayer life is still not enough to excuse the decisions and choices in our life if they do not line up with the same thing that we're praying for. So our lives have to be aligned. the prophetic word does not veto your ability to choose. You still have to choose. You still have to make decisions and choices that align with that word. So let's go through these 4 points this morning. I'm excited about this. It's so key, so much understanding and knowledge in these things that if we don't get these, then we just have to. Just say, I'm going to get it this morning. Okay, let's turn to the book of Mark. Book of Mark, chapter 1. Book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 1. It says, the beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet. I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. And I'm going to go ahead and read down through verse 8. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey, and this was his message. After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And so I want to start this out. It says the beginning, the beginning. See, there's a prophetic word even in the beginning of the Gospels. Before Jesus enters the scene, there's a prophetic word. And it says that John the Baptist was the precursor to Jesus Christ coming on the scene. And this word to John the Baptist was prepare the way. And that's what he was to do, to go out and declare, prepare the way. The Messiah is coming. There's one greater than I coming. And he said, prepare the way, prepare the way. So the first thing we have to understand in our life, number one, is preparation. You cannot forego preparation. And as many of you, maybe you've sat down, I hope that you've sat down and taken the time to think about this year, are hearing from the Lord, are asking the Lord the things that he desires for you this upcoming year, the growth that he wants you on, the desires he wants to implement in you to see those things come to pass. But preparation is the first key. Even before Jesus came to this earth, there had to be preparation. There had to be one that came ahead. It was prophesied that there is one that's going to come before the Messiah, and he's going to prepare the way. And it says in that verse 3, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. So even John the Baptist, as he was preparing the way, but he was telling the people, you have to prepare for the Messiah. You got to prepare your hearts. And it says he was preaching a message of repentance and confession. And of course, baptizing him, baptizing them. That's what his ministry was, to get the people ready for the Messiah. To get them ready, to get their hearts prepared, to do what? To receive the Messiah. And so we, even in our lives, we have to prepare. We have to prepare where we're going. We have to prepare. There's always preparation before the fulfillment of something. If anybody's ever planned an event, you know what I'm talking about. Like, you can't just, there's been VIP events that we've had here. There's been Valentine's events. We did a luau a couple years ago. Any of those events that were planned, there was preparation way in advance. There's planning that has to go into it. Like, what supplies do we have on hand? What do we need to order? What day are we doing this? What time? Scheduling it, getting it out to and notifying all the people, making sure that things are ordered in, and making sure that the food is prepared. You don't just wake up that morning and go, hey, let's have an event today. What do you say? And hopefully, you know, we can get 75 people to show up and let's just go back and see what we can grab out of the closet and get ready for this thing to happen. There's preparation. Preparation. And many times what happens in the Pentecostal circles is we get, because we have the Holy Spirit, praise God for that, but we want to kind of shoulder everything on the Holy Spirit. We kind of want to put everything on the Holy Spirit's shoulders and say, okay, Holy Spirit, you've got the reins, take and do everything. And we don't do our part in the preparation process. And so we've got to prepare. Even before the flood came, what did God tell Noah to do? Prepare by building the ark, right? What happens if that flood shows up and he's not prepared? He's dead. Yeah, before Jesus comes onto the scene in, on earth, there's preparation by John the Baptist. Before the woman with the vessels of oil, what did she have to do? She had to go out and prepare by gathering the vessels. She didn't just sit in her house and go, well, God said that you know, my jar of oil is never going to run dry, and this is what I've got. This is the jar that I've got. This is the vessel I've got. She had to go out and prepare and gather vessels in order for her to see the miraculous sign that came to pass. So in our lives, the vision that you have, the things that God is speaking to you, you have to prepare for. There is a preparation that has to happen. And so what is it that God's speaking you to you to do? What are the requirements that you've got to fulfill to carry that? And the greater the responsibility, the more oftentimes the preparation and the sacrifice. And so the higher you go, the more you have to begin to prepare. Like I was listening to a preacher this morning, and he was saying, you know, many times people want to have they don't want to prepare anymore. They don't want to sacrifice anymore. They don't want to consecrate anymore. But even like as a minister or a pastor, somebody wants to lead at the same level that maybe they were leading 50 people with, but the level that's required for 400 is a different level of leadership. And it's a different level of responsibility, different level of administration. So that person has to grow. That person has to prepare. Sometimes the preparation is spiritual, and sometimes it's in the physical knowledge of things. Sometimes it's a training and it's a discipline. It can be a variety of things. Sometimes it's financially. But what is the preparation that's required to go where God is calling you? To go where God is desiring and asking you to go. What is that preparation? You know, Mary even had to prepare to receive the Messiah. First of all, God chose her for a reason. There was preparation that she was doing before God ever came to her, because she had been chosen for a reason. It doesn't really talk about her character beforehand, but I believe that she was chosen because of her character and her integrity, because of what was in her. God knew he could trust her. So there was preparation that was happening before God ever showed up, the angel ever showed up, Gabriel, and said, you're going to have a child. And his name's going to be Jesus. He's going to be one of the Most High. The Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you. There was preparation. Then what did she have to do? She had to receive the word. She had to say, let it be done unto me as you've said. There was preparation from that point to carry that to the next level. Every level requires preparation. So we have to be willing to prepare. And I know that if you have kids, that's, you see it, you do that with your children. Many times, you know, you're preparing them for each level and each stage. It's easy to see whenever you see a young child, they're going from crawling to walking. Our granddaughter right now is learning to walk, so Zane and Hailama are, you know, they stick Kavai on her feet, and they're going, okay, go. Zane's like, run, you know, he's like, don't walk, just run. And you know, she'll take a couple steps, and then she'll fall down, and then they'll get her back up and take a couple more steps. But they're preparing her to walk. Now, what if a child doesn't receive the preparation that's trying to be handed to them? Well, then they'll never walk. They'll never learn to carry what it is that's being given. Now, God created us to have that desire when we're young. He created us with that natural desire to grow from one stage to the next, to the next. And as a young child, we always want that next responsibility, that next level of growing up. But what happens when we get to be adults sometimes? We might want certain things, but we don't want to do the growing up part. And so that preparation sometimes can stop. And we don't want to grow up. We don't want to take on the preparation. I remember one time years ago, Zane was like 5 or 6 years old. And we had went to the Dollar Tree in St. Mary's. And he had, I think, I can't remember if it was $20, $5, something like that. It wasn't more than 20. But he had some money he was going to spend. And so we go into the Dollar Tree, and you know, that's a big deal, especially if it's $20 for a kid, you know, 20 different items. And so he gets in there, and of course, if you know Zane, like, he takes forever shopping because he like, looks at everything forever, and he just can't decide. And so he's standing there, and he's going from here to there, and, well, I don't know, and let's go down to the next aisle and look there. Well, I don't know, let me go back to the other aisle. Well, along the way, he had left his money lay on the shelf. And then when he realized, because he didn't put it in his pocket, and I told him earlier, you got to put your money in your pocket so you don't lose it. Well, he had left it on the shelf, and I didn't realize it. And then he's going, I don't have my money. Where have my money? Well, let's go back to where we were just at. He's like, I laid it right here. And I'm like, why didn't you put it in your pocket? I don't know. I had it in my hand, and I laid it here to look at this. And I'm like, Zane, you can't do that. Now, I had a choice as a parent. I could either give him another 20 or let him learn the lesson. And so I chose to let him learn the lesson because I thought if I want him to be responsible, and if I want him to grow up and learn how to manage the things that he has, I'd rather him learn at 20 than with something that's much greater later on and of much more value later on. And so I went ahead and talked to him. I was like, you can't, you've lost it now. Yeah, I had the ability to give it to him, but what was more important, that his character develop or that I just give him everything that he wanted? And so even in that, God sometimes is wanting us to develop our character. He's wanting us to develop the strength. He's wanting us to develop that part of us that we need to carry that next level of breakthrough. That breakthrough that's required many times demands something from us, and it's preparation. Preparation, another man of God says it like this, preparation time is never wasted time. And you even look at Joseph's life. Think about it. If he went straight from his brothers putting him into a pit, going to Egypt, and then going to Pharaoh's palace and immediately being second in command, would he have been able to hold the responsibility of a country? More than likely, no. He wouldn't have. It would have been too heavy. But he went to Potiphar's house. He learned to manage a man's house. And then he learned to manage a prison. And then he was promoted to the second in command of the land. So there was preparation. And he could have at any point gone, you know what? God doesn't see me. God's not giving me my breakthrough. I just quit. I'm going to sit over here in the corner in this prison and just give up. And I'm just going to have a bad attitude. I'm just going to quit being diligent. God's not seeing anything anyway. So I'm just going to sit here and just complain about everything. But he didn't. And over time, over a period of years, his character was developed to the point that he could carry a nation. So we've got to do the same thing. We can't just prepare for the big event, but we have to prepare for what is required to carry that moment, to carry it through time. Most of the time, people will plan for a wedding. They'll plan for the event. You know, a wedding takes a lot of preparation. Most usually, unless you go to the courthouse. Get it done one day and don't tell anybody. But most usually, a wedding takes a lot of preparation. And many times people will put all this time, this energy, the money, the thought time into that main event of preparing for the wedding. But how many times do people prepare for the life of marriage? And then what happens? All that money, all that time, all that energy that was put into that moment, into that big event, many times comes crashing down and ends in divorce because no one was prepared for the life of marriage. And it's more important that we prepare ourselves. And well, what does that take? It takes knowledge. It takes understanding. It takes the will of God and the ways of God, the principles of God. So we've got to understand that preparation is never wasted time. It's so important. It's so important. So what events or what is in your vision that requires preparation time? What is that preparation time? What is God speaking to you? How is he wanting you to prepare for that moment? Number two is sacrifice. Number two is sacrifice. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. Hebrews 5, 7 and 8. Sacrifice. It says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission or godly fear. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered and was made perfect just in his comfort. It was just in his moment of, it wasn't for the future. Just get me out of this difficult situation right now. And he was half-hearted. He was not zealous for the things of God. And in fact, it says that he was wicked all of his days, if you read before that. He did not have a heart for the things of God. We have to have a passion. We have to run for the things of God. And that means everything that we do. Our whole heart should be in it. When we say yes to the Lord, that means yes in our worship. How passionate, how zealous are you in your worship? How passionate, how zealous are you in your prayer time? Is it just something to check off? Is it just a few mumblings? Or are you putting your heart into it? Is your heart attached to the very words that are coming out of your mouth? Are there words coming out of your mouth? There's got to be something there for God to anoint. There's got to be something there for God to answer. It's not just thoughts. How passionate are you in your finances and your giving? How passionate are you in your service to the Lord? How passionate are you in your humbleness? All of these things in our life require a passion and a zeal. So how are we responding in our attitude, in our love, even in our excellence? That's the way we serve God. How passionate are we? Psalm 69:9 says, zeal or passion for your house has consumed me. Zeal for your house has consumed me. And Jesus even said that. That was a quote from Psalms, but Jesus quoted that in his life. Zeal and passion for your house consume me. In Romans 12:11, it says, never be lacking in zeal. Paul wrote that. Never be lacking in zeal. Keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. We're not to be dull looking. We're to go after the things of God with everything in us, all of our heart. That's why it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your might. everything that's in us, we go after him. And number four is discernment. Discernment. You can have all those first three, but if you don't have discernment, you can have zeal and passion and make the wrong choices in your zeal and passion because there's lack of discernment. See, Romans says that those that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Those that are led by the Spirit of God, not led by open doors, not led by circumstances, not led by situations, not led by what everybody says. Those that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And that word sons, huios, means those that carry the personification, the image, the things that they model in their life look like God. They're not just sons by adoption, but act a different way. They are sons that have, by choices and decisions, they look more and more, they act more and more like God. Those that are led by the Spirit of God. That means we've got to be led by the Spirit. So a lot of times people make choices based on what? Based on emotion? Based upon what's going on around them at the time? Based on what door opens? And you know what? This is what I'm meaning when I say discernment. I'm like, you have to realize that just because a door opens doesn't mean that it was opened by God, because the enemy can open doors and send a person down the wrong path, and it looked like God. It looked like, oh, God did this open door. See, most open doors are not glitter and fame and altar music and thus saith the Lord. And that's what most people hang everything on, is the thus saith the Lord, something that someone says, the altar music. Well, I'm waiting for that altar music. I'm waiting to feel it, and then I'll know. But there's a lot of open doors that God opens, and you have to have discernment to know that opportunity God just gave you, and it came just through a conversation. There was no background music. There was no glitter. There was no fame. In fact, that open door might require sacrifice. And because of that, you're going, I don't think that's it. It's going to require something of me. It's not an easy platform. It's going to require this and this and this. That's a little difficult. And you don't realize God just opened the door for your future, for your destiny. There's open doors that can be missed because there's not glitter around them. Because they come through conversation, they come through just a nonchalant phone call. Someone sitting across the table from you. And they're testing you because they want to see your passion, they want to see your zeal. I don't think he's got it. I'm being real because this stuff happens all the time. That's why I said these keys are so important. Because if you treat it like it's not a big deal and they see that in you, I don't think they value it enough yet. I don't think they want it enough yet. Or they're seeing the character. I don't think they're ready for it yet. You know, when we walked through the open door with becoming part of KC, it was going to challenge us. See, not everybody that wants to be part of KC just gets to be part of KC. Because KC has a DNA. KC's got certain things that are required, and early morning prayer is one of them. Well, that was going to challenge us. Because at the time, we weren't doing early morning prayer. It didn't mean that we didn't have prayer going on at times, but we didn't do early morning prayer. It meant that Pastor Brad was going to have to take a trip out to Kahului, 2 hours one way, 2 hours back, every single week for a meeting, a staff meeting that might last for an hour. It meant that our finances were going to be turned over and everything comes under the umbrella of KC. It means that we had to have accountability. So it's easy to look at that and say, eh, that's not it. Eh. And then go back in our prayer closet. God, open doors. Open doors for us, Lord. See, sometimes the open door that God's giving you does not come with all of this, you know, confetti and glitter. It was a, it's up to you guys. Do you want it or do you not? And just, and many times we don't look at it the way that God looks at it. We like to give it a lot of hype and a lot of spirituality. But when a lot of times it really comes down to the practical. It comes down to our lives, our decisions, and our choices. And boy, we don't like to take ownership of that. We just like God to do it. Holy Spirit, come in and do it. I don't want to have to do anything. You do it. And then I'll just stay over here and dance in the Spirit and declare the victory. But these areas, and the only reason I bring it up is because there can be times if we don't understand this, if we don't understand that there are moments you have to discern by the Spirit that God's given me an opportunity right now. God's giving me a moment right now. And if I bypass this, it may never come open again. I know a lot of people preach that, oh, it'll come back around. It does not always come back around. It did not come back around for this guy right here. It did not come back around for Gehazi. So we have to have discernment. Discernment. Sometimes that discernment, sometimes that opportunity, I mean, can I use you for an example, Stephen? Sometimes that opportunity might look more like responsibility. And even when Stephen took on bus ministry, he didn't necessarily want to take on bus ministry. Am I right? He's like, eh. And at the time, many times what's happening is you don't realize, like, this is actually, like, Pastor Brad's not coming to him going, well, I'm going to see if Stephen wants to do bus ministry. I don't really trust him, but I'm going to see if he wants to. No, it's because there are certain things that are coming out of his life, and it's like, okay, now we're going to grow him to the next level. Can you do this? Because we want to implement certain levels of leadership. We want you to grow in leadership and grow in these things. And Stephen at first was like, I don't know. Because we want to run from leadership oftentimes. We want to run from responsibility because it requires what? Sacrifice. It requires something. It requires a change. And that's hard. It's like that oil press that squeezes the oil out of the olive. We don't like that pressing. That's not fun. But out of that comes the oil. That's where many times the anointing is birthed. And we don't realize that. We look at that and go, nah, I like where I'm at. Thanks, though. Thanks for the invite. Thanks for the opportunity. And then what? We go back in our prayer room. Lord, open mighty doors for me this year. And has there been things that you've learned in that position? And he's growing so much and has done a wonderful job in it. He's bringing on other people onto the team. But what's it doing? Creating leadership qualities in him. Why? To go to the next level. Many times, that next level, we need to be here to go here, but we just want to go from here to here. God, give me breakthrough. I'm trying. you'll just listen to me, if you'll just do that pressing you've been feeling in your spirit, that thing I've been telling you to do, that responsibility, that area that I'm telling you, get in prayer, get in your word, get into this group, get into a team, get here, get there, do this, do that. No, God, I'm praying for breakthrough. I'm praying for open doors. I'm praying. Yeah, that's what it's connected to right there. So we've got to realize that these things don't look like Holy Spirit dove all over it sometimes. So we have to discern. We have to have discernment. And just as easily, we have to have discernment and make sure that we're not going down a path that does have all the glitter and it is promising all these great things, and then we get down and go, I'm having nothing but trouble and it's not bringing me joy. And I followed it because the wrong reasons. I followed it because I thought it was going to bring me this. I thought it was going to give me that. And it was just a way for the enemy to get you off course. I heard a pastor not too long ago say, and he was an African pastor, and he said, you know, many of you pastors, he was speaking to his own pastors, he said, many of you pastors have went to America, he said, because it looked easy, and you thought America was going to be an easier ground to preach than here in Africa. He said, you weren't supposed to go to America. He said, you've got a small church in America because you were supposed to have a large church in Africa. But you're not getting the fruit that you were supposed to have because you're in the wrong place. You followed the wrong door. And many times it's what happens in our life, is we're just looking for the open door, but we're not following and listening to the Holy Spirit. So we've got to listen to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Clyde, you want to come to the keyboard, please? So it requires preparation. The keys to our next breakthrough require preparation, sacrifice, zeal and passion, and discernment. Discernment. See, Gehazi didn't realize and didn't discern the moment either. What he was looking for, he went after the material goods, but he didn't understand that this opportunity of serving Elisha was the very thing that was needed for a breakthrough and for understanding to walk in those same footsteps later on. But he didn't discern that. He was like, oh, this is my chance. This is that thing I've been waiting on. It's this guy. He's loaded with stuff. And my master didn't take any of it. I'm going to run him down and say, hey, my master changed his mind. Can I have some of that to take back to him? And of course, he's like, yeah, sure.